sneak that in there today. Y'all know I had to. So today, guys, this series is called Responsible and Proper Bible Interpretation. And so I'm paper Bible saved today. I know many of you guys have your digital Bible, but I do have my paper Bible today. I also have some other things here that will help me paint a picture today on properly interpreting the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
And last time I was here, I gave you guys a fork, and the fork had stop on it. Everybody say stop.
Stop.
So in other words, before you eat, I was encouraging you guys to stop. Everybody say stop.
Stop.
So before you eat God's word, I was just simply encouraging you guys to stop. And stop means this acronym that was created by a great apologist named Frank Turek. The S in stop, if you're taking notes, means what is the situation? The T in stop means what type of literature are you reading? Before you eat and study God's word, before you dive into God's word, everybody say stop.
Stop.
The T stands for what's the type of literature? And that's what I'm really going to talk about today, the type of literature. So I'm going to give you the O and the P one more time, but I'm going to rewind to the T and the type of literature. What's your favorite genre? Do you like hip-hop, gospel, jazz? Come on, shout out your favorite genre of music. And all of God's people say?
Gospel.
Gospel, of course. I'm just trying to trick y'all. I gave y'all some options, but there's only one option. It's gospel. That's the only genre you should be listening to, young people, right? We don't listen to hip-hop, right? Don't listen to those beeps. Y'all know what the beeps are, right? Y'all know the beeps, right? I was watching a TV show last night, and it had a whole lot of beeps. It was so many beeps. I said, you should just turn it off.
Yeah.
The man was talking beep, and we know that exists in hip-hop. All right, amen?
Amen.
So we got to be careful what we're listening to, young people. They're in the house. I got to talk to them too. Amen?
Amen.
The O and T. The O and stop stands for who is the object. So when we're studying God's word, consider looking at the text and say, who's the object? Who's the object? Stop. Everybody say stop.
Stop.
P and stop stands for is what I'm reading a prescription or a description? Is it a description of something that's happening, or is it something that we should make an entire doctrine over? Amen?
Amen.
Like, should we be washing each other's feet every single week? No. Wash your own feet. I'm just kidding with you guys. But that's exactly what I mean. So is it a prescription or is it a description? All right, y'all ready to dive into this teaching?
Yes.
I will not be long. I only have 17 slides, so that's at least 17 minutes. Times two, that's about 40 minutes. So I'll be less than an hour. Don't go to sleep on me. Amen?
Amen.
All right, don't go to sleep on me. So what topic, just a quick review, what topic is more important than properly interpreting the Bible? What topic is more important than properly interpreting this good book? On your journey, what if you don't know how to interpret this map? So you're taking a journey. You're going somewhere. Everybody say, I'm going somewhere.
I'm going somewhere.
I'm going somewhere. What if you need a map, but you don't know how to properly interpret the map? It's going to be a rough journey.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't know how to read the map, it's going to be a rough journey. How to properly or responsibly interpret the Bible. So if there's a responsible way, we know that there's a what? A irresponsible way. If there's a proper way, there's a improper way. If we know that there's a system to interpreting the Bible, then we know that many of us, or we see many that are fluid when it comes to this good book. Do you know you can't take a map and just say, and make it mean what you want it to mean, trying to get from South Carolina to Texas?
Right.
You're going to end up in California with that system. Amen? So if there's a solid way, there's obviously a flimsy way. And if the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, there's a right way, that there's a wrong way. Amen? And so I submit to you guys today, proper, read this in the black for me. Proper, ready to say go? Proper interpretation precedes understanding. So I was in a conversation with somebody yesterday, and they were like, no, I should understand the Bible first before I interpret the Bible. Well, I'm saying, how do you get to that understanding? You get to that understanding when you properly interpret the Bible. So proper interpretation precedes understanding. And so, again, you want to know how to read the map because you don't want to get lost. You don't want to have a rough journey. Amen? Life is already rough. Amen? So the Bible, basic instructions before leaving this hotel called Earth. Basic instructions before leaving the Earth. Amen? And so we've been in a season where self-help books are celebrated. I can ask you guys to name your favorite self-help book, and many may not even list the Bible. Amen? And so why are self-help books celebrated, but when we get to the ultimate self-help book that yields to God, everybody wants to question this self-help book. Amen?
Amen?
It is a self-help book. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. So there's an order. That's why, because there's an order to this book.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
This yields up to God. And he will exalt you in due time. You see that order? Everybody say, God first.
God first.
Be second. You humble under God and he will exalt you. Y'all want to go higher? Go low. Amen?
Amen?
So this yields to God. So don't say, guys, I said this is a two-minute review. Because I see some beautiful new faces. All right? And so don't say God is not speaking when your Bible is always closed.
Amen.
I can't hear from God. I can't hear from God and your Bible is closed. When you open this Bible, boom, God will speak every single, I thought that was money falling out. That's just some notes, amen. I almost got excited. Oh yeah, that's just some notes, guys. Open this Bible, God speaks every single time. Do y'all believe that?
Amen.
Do y'all believe this book is true?
Amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. And perhaps we don't open this, many don't open this book because they don't believe it's true. They don't believe it's the word of God. Amen. So you will never ever be able to interpret a closed Bible. One more minute on review. Everybody say there's one meaning.
There's one meaning.
But many applications.
Many applications.
There's only one meaning. But many applications. And to prove to you that, guys, we have to properly interpret this Bible because if we don't, we see what we see because of different interpretations. On the way here, there was a convention at the Bon Secours Arena because of a different interpretation with a different group that believes something different. All right? But guys, when you are responsible, you are more likely to get to that uno, little Spanish. ¿Cómo estás? Buen día? That's not Spanish. That's papiamento. But you are more likely to get to that uno meaning. Everybody say one meaning.
One meaning.
One application. I mean, many applications. One meaning, many applications. So consider, guys, avoiding reading the Bible. No, this is a different teaching today, different preaching. But guys, consider opening the book and then saying, what does this mean to me? Because in a room full of about 20 people, we're going to get 20 different meanings. I would consider a better way is, what stands out in this passage? Amen? And then that's going to start you on the path of properly interpreting the Bible. Because when we say, this means to me, everybody say to me. we're going to get 20 different answers. That's called relativism. Because to me it means this, 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 to me it means this. And I'll be honest, I'll be transparent. Trying to interpret this Bible sometimes feels very challenging. It's intimidating. Anybody else other than me feels like, man, where do I start? Even what I'm seeing looks like gibberish. Even what I'm seeing just feels like it's just all over the place. Anybody other than me feels that way sometimes? But I want to encourage you guys, step one or step number two, I've already given you some steps, is to do the speed limit. Everybody say drive the speed limit. Everybody say read the speed limit. We are always in a hurry. Even on vacation, we can be in a hurry. Because we're so used to being in a
hurry.
Guys, consider not being in a hurry, reading this good book.
Amen.
Because when you do, you're going to miss something. Do the speed limit. What do I mean by that? When you do the speed limit, even, I should have wrote it in black text, sweets. So maybe I have to do the next one. Because I doubt that you can see this, because I can't see this on the left. That's in white text. I gotta remember that. But let me try to. Number one is WSHP. What's that word? Number two is HLLO. What's that word? I know you can't see it, but I'm trying to give you some context clues. Number three is DPE. Anybody figure out what some of these words are?
Yes.
Shout them out. WSHP, what's that word? BBLE, what's that word? Bible, somebody said the Bible, shout it out. FNGR, what's that word?
Finger.
How are you able to identify these words? And some things are missing. Let's keep going. I want to prove something to you guys. I want you guys to wait, go back one slide. I want to do this together. Step four, five, whatever step I'm on, guys. Y'all write this down. Use scripture to interpret scripture. Use scripture to interpret scripture. There's enough scripture to help you understand what's going on biblically. We should read a passage in the light of the entire Bible. Consider not reading one passage in isolation, or one text, or one verse. We should interpret seemingly confusing passages with passages that are very, very, very clear. What do I mean by this? Guys, you can do way more than what you think you can. You don't have to necessarily go to seminary. You don't have to go back to school. I hated school. I still hate school. But I'm a student of learning. All right? So, guys, don't let... It's only 66 books. Only 66 books. Dive in this thing. And, guys, some things may not be clear. But I promise you, do the speed limit. And use scripture to interpret scripture. All right? Let's read this together. You're going to be surprised of the power that's within you, that God gave you to understand his heart. He put something on the inside of you, in my humble opinion, that's innate to help you understand him. So when you do align yourself with him, it triggers understanding. Does that make sense? Let's read. On your mark, get set, ready, go. I couldn't read out loud for me so I can hear you guys. Ready, set, go. I couldn't believe that I could actually understand what I was reading. Using the power, I can't hear you guys. Using the power of the human mind, according to the research. It doesn't matter in what order the letters in a word are. The only important thing is that the first and the letter be in the right place.
What? Let's stop. First of all, how you guys are doing that? It's so much wrong. Allegedly, it's so much wrong with this book, but you guys are getting it right. Allegedly, things are not right. This is not right according to the critics.
But you see how you guys are getting wrong right.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Let's keep reading. I lost my place, but I think I am. It doesn't matter in what order the letters in a word are. The only important thing is that the first and the last letter be in the right place. Next. The rest can be a total mess, and you can still read it without a problem. This is because the human mind, read this really loud, does not read every letter by itself, but the word as a whole. Amazing, right? See if your friends can read this too. You want to screenshot this, play this trick on them. Again, I just said, use scripture to interpret scripture. We should read a passage in the light of the entire Bible. Amen? So I'm going to end today on the second half of this teaching. Is again, I want to remind you that STOP stands for S. What's the situation? T, what's the type of literature? And that's what I really want to talk about today. Everybody say type of literature, which represents the style. You can look at me and say, that young man got a style. Thank you. I tried this morning. I have a style, so we're not strangers to understanding different styles. Different styles. I'm from Falfara, South Carolina. I talk a certain way. And I own it. I love it. I'm proud of it. Falfara, South Carolina, in the house. You buy your music and your books that are categorized by what? Styles. By different genres. So step 5, 6, whatever step we're on, consider looking at this book and try to categorize or to extract a certain style. Because again, the T and stop before you eat God's word stands for the type of literature. All right, you have poems, you have epistles, you have prayers, you have, if you want to write this down, you have legal documents, you have historical literature, you have songs, my favorite because I'm a musician, you have spiritual songs, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach, admonish one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, you have prophecies, you have speeches, you have proclamations, you have scriptures that sounds like somebody is a reporter giving an eyewitness account of what happened. All right? You have letters. You have apocalyptic language. Everybody say type of literature. So I just want to focus on one element today. I don't want to be all over the place. I think this could help the 6-year-old in the room. And nobody's over 60, but the 6-year-old and maybe the 56-year-old in the room. Y'all look good. The type of literature. Metaphor, write this down. Metaphor is basically one type of literature that exists, especially in wisdom literature and poetry. Everybody say metaphor. When you hear a metaphor, your senses are engaged. It's like you hear a metaphor, and your imagination is triggered. God is awesome because he knows exactly how he made us, and he knows what we need to understand him. So he triggers our senses, our sound, sight, smell, are engaged when we hear metaphors in life or metaphors in God's word. Y'all know what a metaphor is. Y'all know what a figure of speech is. Wait before you go to this slide, sweets. I want to be ahead of them on this one. Everybody say metaphor. So metaphor, basically interpret this, guys. Interpret what I'm about to say. I need to pick somebody.
You walk right into it, sir. What's your name?
Dr. Butler.
Dr. Butler, you look like you swimming in loot. Interpretation. Y'all give me an interpretation. Looks like Dr. Butler is what?
Got cash.
Rich. That's an example of a metaphor. I mean, you walked right into it with an 8-piece suit on. I ain't mad at you. I need to go shopping. We're underdressed this morning. Looking like money. Does that mean he looks like money? That's a metaphor. He doesn't look like money, but you see how a metaphor triggers your smell, your senses. Many of us are adults. And through life, we win some and we what?
Lose.
I like to say learn some, but I understand why we say lose some. Because many around us are not here anymore. And we realize quickly, metaphor, that time is a thief. Time is a thief. Say that with me. Time is a thief. Interpretation. What's the interpretation? Shout it out. Time can steal moments just like a thief can take something from you. That doggone time is a thief. You can't get it back. Amen? So use your time wisely. Young people, say time. I want you to use your time wisely. What is time? Time, seconds, minutes, and hours. Use it wisely, okay? She said, okay. Y'all clap your hands for the young people in the room. She said that so respectfully, I almost went bought some ice cream for them right now. I'm a sucker for respectful kids. Amen? Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes. Ain't that something?
Amen.
Makes you want to give them the world, right?
Amen.
They don't know how to do it. They just all disrespectful. They want to get something from somebody. Be respectful. All that defiant stuff. Anyway, come back to the teaching. Amen. Her voice is music to my ears. Interpretation, give it to me.
What's he saying?
Not this, that's the wrong interpretation. When she speaks, so let me give you more context. When she speaks, her voice is music to my ears. Now y'all see, this is kind of like an example of using scripture to interpret scripture, or using other words to interpret other words. Her voice, when she speaks, is music to my ears. Interpretation? She brings me great pleasure and joy when she speaks. And I'm only talking about one person in this room. And her name is what?
Sweets.
Sweets. I call her Sweets. You know her as Alexis. A few more. You are as useful as a screen door on a submarine. That's not good. That metaphor and interpretation. So now y'all laughing because y'all saw something. I don't have a picture on the screen, but you saw something. Because being useful as a screen door on a submarine, and that submarine topic is very sensitive these days anyway. So it's like, bro. Last one. By the way, that last interpretation was, you are useless, ma'am or sir. That's an insult. They tell you that? Kick him in the ankles. Last one. You are a snake in the grass. Does that mean I am slithering in the grass?
No.
What does that mean? Interpretation.
Can't you trust me?
I can't trust you. You are deceitful, sneaky, and untrustworthy. Metaphors, guys. This just understanding or being aware of metaphors in God's word will help you teach God's word better. It will help you teach it to the next generation. It will help you understand it. The Bible studies will go to another level. This is a part of properly interpreting God's word. Just simply understanding the T in stop is what? The type of literature. What we're focusing on today is a what? A metaphor, a figure of speech. So, although metaphors are not to be taken literally,
The Bible is still true and very much real.
Yes.
The Bible is true. Even though it's a figure of speech, don't let that trick us up in thinking that the Bible is just a made-up story. It's a fable. It's not true because of metaphors. Real people were communicating in the Bible using metaphors. We use it now. We say, not picking on you, but nobody else seems to fit the characteristic. You sharp. Does that mean he will cut you?
No.
That means what? Even, how old are you? Well, I'm about to run the clip. Even a 9-year-old can understand metaphors. Means it looks good. Figure of speech. All right. Message over. 9-year-old got it. We got it. Amen. So think about it. We use metaphors every day. So God wants us to understand the Word of God by breaking down complex concepts using metaphors. And I'm really going to finish this with this. Because these are, I may only get to one. I may get to all three. But John 15:1 says, I know that's 10 font, but hopefully you guys can read that on the right. But John 15, if you want to turn there, John chapter 15:1 says, 1 through 9, it talks about Jesus being the vine. Jesus is the vine, and we are branches. I am the vine. Jesus is talking. And you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, the vine, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire and burned. Metaphor. Jesus is the what? We are the what? So, bottom line, can you flourish away from the vine? You cannot. Case closed. Now, if we go back to this text and extract something else out, we're way off. Amen? You can still be successful without Christ. There's another way to God. There's another way. I mean, you see how, guys, if properly interpreting the text will keep us aligned with God's heart. We obviously see what disconnection from the vine looks like. This would not survive 10 minutes on the 4th of July. This would be, y'all know why, right? This does not need to get close to fire. You see what the text says, right? This will actually take a, this will almost could be fireproof. Look, when you're connected to the vine, how you look, how you thrive, you look great. Well, I got church this morning. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? I should be teaching children's church anyway. I don't know why y'all got me up here. Look! Let's go to the next one. David says, purge me with hyssop. Metaphor. But I actually found some hyssop. This is all the way from Israel. I'm valuing this so much, I don't even want to open it. You see the tag? But there's an expiration date, so I got to hurry up because I don't want it to go bad. But when David said, purge me with hyssop, I went in the pantry, got the hyssop out that we bought last year in Israel, and I just said, look at you. But it's no good sitting on the shelf because then I read, guys, there are so many health benefits
to this hyssop. And David knew that in the natural, but in the spirit, again. Hyssop, oh my glasses. Let me look at this one. Hyssop tea helps fight colds. Did y'all know that? Metaphor. Hyssop helps with fungi. It helps fight bacterial, viruses. It fights parasites and infections. Hyssop, highest bidder today is yours. It increases circulation. You have hyssop oil. It's edible. It helps boost immune systems. It helps with digestion. Mom Veda, I see you lighting up. You said, I'm giving me some hyssop tonight. Well, I like this type of preaching. It promotes skin health. Y'all don't need hyssop for that. Y'all got it going on. It relieves muscle pain. Hyssop. And inflammation and spasms. But when David says, purge me with hyssop, in light of what hyssop actually does and the health benefits, what interpretation? David says, purge me with hyssop. What's the interpretation? I have a spiritual infection. I have a spiritual fungi. I have some issues. There's no, I shouldn't have done that. I committed adultery. I had a man killed. I lied. I have some issues. David says, purge me with hyssop. With hyssop. Metaphor. In other words, God, I need you to clean my spirit up. He's honest, and God can do a lot when you're honest. Don't try to hide it from God. Be honest. Everybody say, be honest. I mean, David said, purge me with hyssop. Hyssop can help a lot of bad things going on in your body. And Jesus can help a lot of bad things. He can help all the bad things going on in your body. Right. Amen.
Amen.
Purge me with hyssop. And then the passage or psalm, there's a psalm that says, God, take not your spirit from me. I mean, David was honest. He was reckless, but he was honest about his recklessness. Amen.
Sure.
Amen. God can work with that.
Amen.
It's a process. Matthew 5, last one. Matthew 5, 13. Jesus, metaphor. You guys okay? Y'all bored? If you're bored, say amen.
No.
You got him. Matthew 5 says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its savor, its flavor, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything, Matthew 5, except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Metaphor. Whoa. God, what are you saying? I see exactly what you're saying. If I'm no good, I'm no good. Amen. Look at somebody and say, are you salty? Are you salty? Now, how are you going to figure out if they're salty? You're not going to, in the natural, taste them. Amen. You're not going to smell them. But we know what this metaphor means. The Bible says you are the light of the world. Metaphor, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they set it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Yes.
Guys, if you stand there, let me know. I'm really finished. If you sit down and let me, it will signal to me I need to go about 50 more minutes. So you guys stand up and clap your hands for this teaching this morning. Let's go home on this last one. Jesus followers, we should be salt. In other words, the atmosphere around us should not be bland. We should be more salty than ours.
You know, you guys can taste it and say, that's Lowry's season song. When you walk into a room, they should say, yep, something about him, something about her. Not her dress, but her spirit. There's something about her, something about her. Because we are the salt of the earth. Amen. Amen. And let's be the salt. Let's not be bland. Guys, when you're not useful, look what the text says. It's no longer good for anything. Not in man's eyes, but in God's eyes. Are you good for business? Are you good for kingdom business? Amen. Everybody lift your hands. Lift your hands. Lord, thank you for this teaching. Thank you for this teaching. Thank you for this revelation to some. Thank you for instructions. Thank you for conviction this morning. There's no reason. You've been so good to us, and this Bible has been closed all week long. We repent. Forgive us. We will absolutely dive into this book. We will study. We will muse. We will meditate on your word day and night, so we can be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit. We thank you for this great church. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you, hear your heart. When we leave here, please keep us safe and forever in your care. We release healing this week. We humbly ask for healing this week. And we petition you for healing emotionally and spiritually and physically. We know that there are needs in this room. And if you be a true God, we know that we are asking. You know exactly what we're asking for. And we know you, the only one, can do something about it. We trust you. We appreciate you. We worship you. We yield to you. We put it in your hand. We're not leaving here with any weight this morning. We leave it here in your hands. We're leaving here lighter and more flavorful than ever before. We appreciate you, God. We love you. Amen. Guys, you are dismissed. If you're not saved, come holler at me. We will lead you to Christ, and